This is a world fellowship.
Yes.
We have India, we have Germany, we have North Carolina. The uttermost parts of the world. And Georgia. That's probably more like the uttermost parts. Georgia, USA, that's the uttermost parts.
Core zone of this fellowship in Georgia.
I can't hear Robbie very well today. Is it me or is it?
Is
my voice clear?
That's better.
Is my voice? Yeah. I'm saying that Georgia is the core location for that fellowship.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes. Georgia is, yes, this is where we are, Georgia.
Yeah.
Atlanta area. So, well, we're going to have some, I know some great fellowship today, as normal, as usual. It always is such a blessing to be together and to see everyone, even if it's just on the screen. Right. I'll take it no matter how I get it. I'll take your faces no matter how I can see them. Just love to see everybody. So.
Yeah, this platform has made me very lazy, I must admit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we enjoyed being up there with you on Resurrection Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That was such a great time.
It was a wonderful time.
Yes. Yeah. And like I said, we'll have to do some more of that. I thought about just, you know, we'll get back to the once a month thing when we all got together once a month. We used to do that here. And we just do a floating fellowship, you know. Where we get together. Of course, we'll always still do the Zoom.
Yes.
So. But it's something to look forward to for sure. Well, why don't we begin with some prayer and I know there'll be others that join us and connect up with us. So at this point, why don't we just start with some prayer? Okay. So, who would like to start us out? Anyone?
I will.
Okay, Vita.
Well, Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, God, that we can rejoice and be glad in it because you're our Father. We thank you for all the things that you do for us, how you take care of us, how any loving father would take care of his kids. So, we thank you for that. We thank you for this wonderful morning, the opportunity to come together and to learn more about you, to hear more about the wonderful things that you are doing, to just be able to listen and praise your name because you are worthy. I thank you, Father, for Donnie and Patty. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their constant commitment to speak of you and to take care of your people and God, for their hearts, for that. I thank you for just continually to bless their life, God, as you are their source and their sufficiency in all things. I thank you especially for Alicia this morning, God. I thank you, God, for just a fast recovery for her from the surgery. I thank you, God, that her kidney just wakes up and do what it is that it's supposed to do. I thank you, God, for easing her pain, and I thank you for her just getting up and out of that hospital very quickly. And I thank you, God, that in all things you are glorified. No matter how it comes, God, you are still the one that has made all things. So we just thank you that you are a loving Father to us, and we get the opportunity to just share some of those things today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ for my family
my spiritual family as well as my, you know, my biological family. I just thank you, God, that you take care of all them, that we see signs, miracles, and wonders happen all the time, and that we listen to you and talk to you and understand that you are the one that gives us the words that we need to say to people in order to heal their lives and to minister to them. I just thank you, God, for my brother Herbie, and I just thank you for taking all the poison out of his system, getting him out of the hospital, raising him up, and just loving him and healing him despite of his unbelief, and just for, and that you just work with him to the point of where he can believe to be able to be healed. I thank you for my brother Ronnie, and I just thank you for his heart and for it stop being blocked, and that his kidneys start to function and regularly. And I just thank you, God, that you work in his heart, that he sees it as you that healed his life, and that he comes to you in a greater way to serve you and serve his people. I thank you for my niece and for her continued health and recovery from the surgery that she had. I thank you, God, for her son, and that that you work in their lives so they understand what it is in order to have a baby. And that they don't raise that baby in a world that doesn't even know what a male or female is, but that you can go ahead and that you can show them what the true essence and beauty is of having a little boy or a little girl and being a mother. I thank you, God, just for you touching our lives and touching my life and being there, that I have a constant to always go to, that I never feel powerless, that I never feel alone, and that I never feel helpless in any situation because I know that you're my Father and you're always there for me. I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, when we were without God and without hope, without you in the world, and that you placed something inside of us that gave us wholeness that we can trust every day. I thank you for the ability to speak in tongues to remind us what we have and who we are as Christ, as children of God inside, in Christ inside of us. And I just thank you, God, for a wonderful day and a wonderful week that we can walk out and we can see signs, miracles, and wonders in this perverse world and know that you are always with us and by our side. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for taking care of Donnie and Patty, blessing them tremendously for their stand on your word and for their watching over the family. Thank you, God, for everyone in this fellowship, their needs, their wants, their lives. And I look to you, Cindy. Thank you for her continued healing and that she continues to get stronger every day. In the name of Jesus Christ.
And sweet Father, I thank you today for Aunt Sue. I thank you for her disposition and how happy she is, even though she's not living in her home. She's living at rehab. And Father, if it's for her best for her, as far as cooking and getting around and walking, if that's best and she can go back home, I thank you that you make that happen. Thank you for all of the nurses and people there at rehab that help her and that she continues to get stronger and stronger. Thank you for beautiful Claire, Father. Thank you for directing her steps. Thank you for Aaron and blessing his sweetheart. Thank you for the Beach Fellowship, for Anthony and for Ricky and for Sadie, that I can build a relationship with them and get them closer to the Word. Also, thank you so much for Morgan that I met yesterday, you know, a single mom raising a child and doing it right, Father. And just thank you that she can get more Word. And, Father, just like Tim said, we are so thankful that we, you know, made a decision at one point in our lives to accept you. And the Word that we were taught is, you know, unbelievable, and it as we used to say, served to us on a silver platter. And Father, we're so thankful that you built that word in our lives over the years, and it's just got stronger and stronger each and every day, and that we have the ability to speak in tongues and do not feel helpless or fearful or any emotion, Father, because we can speak in tongues and change what's going on. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So anyone from India, any of you would like to pray in Hindi, if you'd like, go ahead.
Amen.
All right. Well, amen. Amen. Wonderful. Well, great to see everyone this morning. You know, I was just thinking there, a couple of the prayers were thanking God for the ability to speak in tongues. And, you know, it really is quite an enablement, an ability that God has given to us, because, you know, as Ravi was praying in Hindi, which none of us here in the U.S. or Kurt, I'm sure you don't really understand Hindi either. We don't understand what you were praying for, but we could silently speak in tongues to ourselves as we were hearing your words of prayer and thanks toward God in Hindi, in a language that we don't know. We could speak in tongues and be right there with you because of the ability of that spirit to know those things. We didn't understand what we were praying for either, but God does. And so it's really quite an ability that God has given us, as believers, as his sons and daughters. And it's useful for many things, of course, but, in this situation, that was certainly one of them, you know. And so we all joined together in that prayer of thanks that Ravi was expressing to the Father. So great, great realities that we have in our lives, great power. So, well, let's hear some great things that God's been doing. What has God been working in your lives? Let's have some testimonies. Vita, would you like to
get
us on Alicia? Please. Yeah, I know everyone would be.
Yes, I do, but I want to piggyback off what you said.
Oh,
and
yes,
I would about speaking in tongues and how it is. You know, it's our language to God, you know, that prayer is that perfect prayer going directly to God. And we don't know, but our spirit knows and our spirit is edified by it, you know. So I'm just learning to appreciate it more and more, you know, because even when I'm frazzled, I can still speak in tongues and know that I am speaking directly to God. So. So Alicia, I want to give those of you who don't know a little background on her story. She came to Georgia by my son, and when they came, her and her niece and her brother, she does not have children, but she got custody of her niece and her brother. And she was their mother because both her sister and her mother died of AIDS. And their story has always been to me that they was glad that they came to Georgia because they did not know anything about God. And that I mean, even Alicia tell me now today, even though my son brought her here, that now she knows why she was here, because it introduced her to God. So since that time, she's been in my life and like a daughter to me. And she, a few years after coming, she got sick and end up having, I mean, to go on dialysis. From that time of going on dialysis, she has gone blind and regained her sight. I remember one women's thing that we did. I can remember Tracy having to lead her around basically because she could not see. There was times that I remember pushing my bed over to bring like a hospital in my bed in my room so that, you know, I could help care for her, because at one time she needed just constant care. So, but it's always been her confession that, you know, God would heal her. She's always had that faith, even though there was times that it looked like, you know, she would be out of here, you know. And she's always confessed that she was going to come off dialysis and she was going to get a new kidney. And so this past Thursday night, she called me very excited, saying they told her to get to the hospital, be there by 10, that they had her kidney. And so she had a kidney transplant Friday morning.
Yes.
I mean, this is too cold.
I don't understand it.
I don't understand it.
Okay. And she got a kidney transplant, so she's doing well. She's in pain, and you know, they're waiting for the kidney to wake up. It went asleep for a minute. So they were saying the more active she get, that it'll probably, you know, do what it's supposed to do. So we're just, you know, trusting God that it's going to happen, and that it doesn't matter how things look, that we just trust God. We trust in that power and authority that He is, and that He's given to us, you know, to speak in His to people, and to speak in Christ. That I know when I was going to the hospital yesterday, I was thinking about, you know, that authority, you know, and even, you know, sometimes I thought about the story in Acts, you know, and how they was just, you know, using the name of Jesus Christ to, you know, do whatever they was doing, and how the devil spirits in them, you know, jumped on the devil spirit in the other people, jumped on them, then they ran out, it says, wounded and naked. And how sometimes, you know, that name of Jesus Christ is not necessarily about a saying at the end of my sentence. It's about the authority that name carry, that name of Jesus Christ has once again bridged that gap. So now that we have that power that God originally, that authority that God originally gave us, and that now that we can use that authority, and you know, and we don't have to you know, be afraid or what have you, but to walk in boldness and confidence that it's the power of God that's going to bring things to pass. So I left confident, knowing that God has this. He's going to take care of this. You know, His power and authority is that great, and that we don't have to worry. And the only part I really play in this is speaking it. You know, I speak it, because now I have the authority to do that because of everything that Christ did. You know, not the fact that I use His name, because I do use His name, but the fact that He did it. We now have that authority again, and having confidence in that, you know, this physical thing is just a vehicle to house that powerful thing, you know, which is God and Christ in us. So, yeah, just so thankful, just once again, to be able to give God the glory and see what God does for us. And whether it's in her getting another kidney, or her her kidney coming alive. She has one, and that was her confession, and that's what she got, that she was going to get a new kidney. And I don't know, but what I've been told, you know, some people wait on the list and they never get any a kidney, you know. So even in that, and to get one that matches. So that in itself is a miracle. So, you know, we have a miracle working God, and I'm just thankful to be able to speak of the things that he's capable of doing, and to see her come from death to life, you know, because I was there and I saw it. And so I know what God can do. I saw when she couldn't see. And I think half of the time, Donnie, she was riding. She was driving around, going up and down the street and couldn't see, you know. But she was still doing it. You know, she was still trusting God, and she was still having faith that God was going to take care of her. I don't care how bad it got or how bad it looked, you know. Her faith was still, God is going to do this. So, yeah, that's it.
Vita, God healed her eyes. I mean, it wasn't like...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a miracle of healing with her eyes, right? So
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because I remember her sharing that testimony, too. It's just like, you know, she just was focused and determined that God was going to open her eyes again, and he did.
Yeah.
So, praise God. So, we know she's a bulldog. She's gonna get what she determined she's gonna get. So,
and to know that, you know, this was a person that did not know anything about God, but right. Yet and still, when we speak, you know, to people and tell them that God can do this, you know, what scripture do I use? Don't worry about what scripture you use. Just have faith that God can do this for you, you know. And then, yeah, of course, I would give her scripture. I would give her the word. But the main thing is setting your heart and your mind that God can do this for you. So, and it's that simple, you know. It's really that simple. Just, yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing all that, Vita. That's
You're
great.
Welcome.
That's great. Yep. It's a constant reminder of what God is able to do.
Well, I remember many, many healings that she had over the years. She'd get completely delivered of something, and then something else would hit her, and she was so determined to be healed of each and everything. There were so many things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm picturing one time years ago when we were at Lake Lanier Islands when Sangit was there, and I mean, there were kidneys, there were eyes, there was heart condition, there was all this other stuff, and just healed of all of them. And the adversary would continue to like throw things back at her, but she wouldn't buy into it. She never accepted it. She refused it, and she accepted the healing she knew was available to her. And even with, you know, thank you for sharing the backstory again of Chris and Taisha, right? Taisha, Chris is the one that died recently, passed away unexpectedly, very quickly. A car accident, right, Vita?
Yeah, and even that was a setback, Patty.
Hmm. Oh.
I had knocked her off, you know.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm bringing it up, because she's just had to put up with so much. I mean, how painful. Your adopted child. I didn't remember that she had adopted both of those two. And I also didn't remember about the parents having died of AIDS. And so this girl is strong. She's determined. You know, we continue to pray for her body to receive the kidney, and that she's going to get up and go. And I know another thing about her. She always, didn't she want to go back to school and work and do something with their life like that. Yeah.
She actually, through all of this, she has worked as well.
Yeah.
I mean, did not feel like it, but she did. And I mean, it's just an amazing story of someone that's just determined, you know, to grab hold to what she's been told and to run with it. So it really is. And I mean, it helps even build my faith to just, you know, sit there and experience it, you know. Yeah.
Well,
and just hungry. I mean, it's completely hungry for the word, you know, just hungry. And, Yeah.
Well, that's what that is what inspires others. It's like Cindy's testimony, you know, of great deliverance over the months and couple of years that she's been dealing with the attacks of the adversary in her life, and how determined she has been to claim the promises of God and not listen to what the doctors have to say. You know, that, okay, the doctors are there to guide and direct you and tell you, okay, this will help, that will help, whatever. But ultimately, the source of our supply, the source of our achieving that which we need and receiving that which we need is our Father in heaven, our confidence in him, and our determination to receive his promises. And like Alicia's testimony, Cindy's testimony, so many of our testimonies, Kathy's testimony about being under the oppression of having to use one of those CPAP machines, and then determining that, you know, she's going to be delivered from it. And she doesn't use it anymore. She doesn't need it anymore. No. She's been delivered of that because God delivers. And these are the things that when we hear of these things, we have great faith being built in our own hearts and lives about the things that we need. Because with God, there's nothing impossible. And if that's the only thing we know, if that's the only thing we adhere to and drive our heart and mind to believe, that with God, nothing is impossible. And with him, he desires to do these things for us. Then we will have those things that we need, as long as we don't quit, as long as we don't roll over and say, okay, I'm just going to take a beating from the adversary and the world. You know, we don't have to do that, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, the God who said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. It's that power that is being focused toward our lives, right? Like the prayer in Ephesians says, it's that power that is toward us that he wants us to see and know every day of our lives. Because, hey, in this world, it's obvious we have a lot of needs. Needs come up. We're flesh. We're not perfect in the flesh. Our flesh breaks down. Our flesh has ailments, aches, pains, diseases, whatever it is, afflictions. But in and through them all, God is willing to deliver us and bring us through them if we will just focus our heart on it and take those things that we hear, those testimonies of God's great deliverance in the lives of other believers, and take them to heart. Realize that if God can do this for someone else, he can do it for me. That other person is no better than you in God's eyes. He's not more deserving than you are in God's eyes. And if God can do it for one, he can and will do it for all who come to him. And that's why we encourage ourselves this way, you know, because God's there for us. And he is willing to move heaven and earth, if necessary, to provide you with those things that you need so that you can live that life which is more than abundant, that Jesus Christ said he was present to accomplish for you, right? The thief comes not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come, he said. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, in this, not just in, you know, in the future when we all get to heaven, right? As the song says, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, God wants us to have days of rejoicing here, now, today. As well.
Yeah.
And he will do for us those things that we need if we will but turn our heart to him and say, Father, this is what I need, and I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Be convinced and be determined. I remember that one thing that George Mueller, who was a very, very famous believer, in Germany, and he ran orphanages because he believed that was what he needed to do, and he took care of those orphaned kids, and he had no money to do it, but he trusted God to do it. And one of the things that he learned in his walk with God was one of the pitfalls of a believer, of many believers, was not to persist in prayer until the answer comes. You persist in prayer until you receive your answer. You do not stop. It's like the parable when Jesus Christ shared the parable about, you know, in the middle of the night when someone comes to your door and they're knocking on your door, you go, hey, you open the door and you go, it's the middle of the night. Go away. My family's inside. We're trying to sleep. We're trying to rest. We have a big day tomorrow. Get out. And he shuts the door. But what does that person do that has the need? He continues to knock. He continues to knock on that door until it's open to him. And he says, okay, what do you need? You see, so it is that relentless persistence to continue to go to God and request what you need. And he hears you. And in our hearts, we continue to confess and continue to say, God, I know you've got this. I know you're working on this for me. I know you've already prepared it for me. And I know I will receive it. And you just don't stop. You just don't stop until you receive what you have requested of the Father. Because it's ours. It's rightfully ours. Those answers to prayers are rightfully ours because of what Jesus Christ did, what Vita was sharing about. It's not so much us. It's about what he did. That's why we can have the right to come before God and request these things and expect him to do them. Expect him to answer them. Expect him to, you know, give you exactly what you're requesting. So don't stop. Whatever it is that you have, that you need, whether it be physical, spiritual, financial, anything. In all things, we go to God. All things. Because with God, all things are possible. So what a great inspiration it is to hear these testimonies. You know? So, all right.
That reminds me of that song. I don't know who wrote it. Old ministry song, I think. Don't stop. Don't stop. Never stop. Don't stop. Believe in God. God's word. Don't stop. Well, it sounded better than that. But yeah. Don't stop. Never stop. Don't stop believing God's word. Don't stop believing. That record Donnie just referred to is in Luke 11 and is filled with parable stories, extended metaphors about persistence. And I remember he taught it years ago and he used the term dogged determination. And I've never forgotten that. We have to be bulldogs, just like he said Alicia is. Dogged determination. Just never, never give up. We have to fight sometimes. Up here. So.
All right. Well, what else is there? What other great things we can hear about?
Well, Donnie, I got something I wanted to share, but I actually. Right.
Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
Actually, I didn't want to share it. It's kind of personal, but it's on my heart to go ahead and share. Again, as part of my family, it's just been a great opportunity to be able to believe for them and believe with them, to see their deliverance. And, you know, and you just reminded me to go ahead and to just keep on believing because their deliverance is coming and it's already there. It's just a matter of seeing it in their lives. My niece called me up about a week ago and, she was upset again. Well, she was excited, but she was upset because, her boy, my great nephew, his girlfriend's pregnant and they're going to have a baby and he's real excited about it, but she is, a non-binary, female that has, doesn't associate herself with any kind of male or female. And my niece was like, man, I'm so excited that I'm going to be a grandmother, but I, you know, this stuff is just so crazy. I don't know what to, you know, I said, well, what are you going to call the baby? And they said, well, we don't really going to call it anything. And I mean, and I'm like, okay. So are you going to say it's a boy or it's a girl? And they're like, and she says, no, they're not going to say that it's a boy or a girl, you know, and all these just stupid thinking that is just placed on it, you know. And I just looked at her and I just said, you know, honey, you know, like dealing with your life and all the sicknesses you had with the, that you were in stage 4 cancer and that you got delivered from that. And, you know, when I called you and I talked to you and, you know, and when I would call you at the right time and call you to, and I would say what you needed to hear in order for you to get your deliverance. And I said, you know, you just ask God to go ahead and do the same thing with your son. And, you know, and she says, you know, I mean, she was to the point where she says, I wish he would have just brought home another man. I could have dealt with that a lot better. I don't know how to deal. I don't know how to deal with this, you know. And I'm like, okay, no problem. So out of the blue last night, I get a text message from her son. You know, how you doing? I lost your number. I just wanted to call and just say hi. You know, and I was just like, Canyon, it's so wonderful to hear from you. I love you. I love your mom. I just, you know, appreciate you. And then out of the blue, he goes and says, well, you know, I'm going to be a father. And I said, that's wonderful. And then I got to share with him that, you know, about how he could believe, you know, and I got to share the word with him. And, at the end of kind of conversation, he texted me, he says, you know, it made me cry, just what you shared with me. And I was like, well, Canyon, anytime you need me, I'm here for you. Just give me a call anytime you need to. And you never know who's going to run in your path and what situations that they're going to deal with. And there's always going to be situations that you think are too big for you, but they're never too big for God. And you know, and I shared with his mom, I said, you know, do you just need to believe God to go ahead and know what to say and what not to say in that whole situation, and God will show you what you need to say to him, you know? And I don't know if anybody else is in a situation like this, but it is weird, you know, the whole world is so crazy about what is a man or what is a woman. No one wants to define what that, when God clearly defined, there's, you know, there is a man and there's a woman, and they both have roles, and it's not evil to go ahead and to be able to want to be that, you know. So I just, I don't know why I shared that, you know, it is very, very personal to me, but I wanted to go ahead and share that, you know, that God will give you what you need to say and what you need to do in order to see people delivered. And when they get delivered, you get delivered. When they get healed, you get healed. When, you know, when they get blessed, you get blessed. You know, I mean, there's never a conversation that I ever had with somebody when they got done, when I got done with and I knew I blessed their lives, that I wasn't blessed. You know, so I just wanted to share that, you know, God's there in any situation. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Yeah, there is no lack of effectiveness when we speak the truth. The truth will penetrate. And, you know, it cuts through, right? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It can separate joint from marrow. You know, it can cut deep and cut quick. It's the truth. And there is no time when the truth is not appropriate. And as we're inspired by the Spirit of God to speak it, we speak it. We don't just speak off the top of our head. We speak from the depth of the power of the Spirit that dwells within us. That's who we are. And that's what we do. And we are never, never to be ashamed of who we are and who God has made us and what we have to give to the world around us, right? It is the power of God unto salvation that we speak when we speak the truth. And it doesn't have to quote verses. It just has to come from that Spirit that dwells within us in our own words right? The way we speak,
right?
And that is how God makes himself known, by you speaking of him, by you speaking the truth that dwells within you. That's how God is known.
Johnny.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, I think sometimes the enemy put thoughts in their head just to see how we will react to those situations. You know, if you are the son of God. And, cause if you sit down and talk, like you said, the guy texted you back or called you back, Tim, and you have a conversation with them a lot, they don't even know what they believe or understand, you know. But like you said, it has to be you listening to God in that situation to give what is needed and not to have conversations necessarily with everybody that's, you know, that's saying that or try to have a, you know, how sometimes we go in battle and we really don't even have to. But yeah, I believe sometimes the enemy had just have them to say things just to see how we're going to react and how we're going to, if we're going to run and not love the unlovable, you know, so, and we don't have to be afraid of somebody, saying that's who they are because that's not who they are. And thank God for the Spirit of God anyway, because that's what's perfect. You know, that's what was perfect. It's a lot of crazy stuff out there. And, you know, I even run into it, you know, even with my grandkids sometimes, stuff they say. And it's like once I sit down and I talk to them and I ask them questions, it's like they're scratching their head. Well, why do I even believe that? Why did I even say that? You know, so, yeah, what we have is so important to give people and to speak truth when God directs us to speak truth. You know, everybody's not going to hear it, but there are those that wants it. So, yeah, we just can't be afraid of the things that the enemy tries to throw at us to get us to walk away from someone that needs to hear what we have to say.
If the words are there in your heart, then they're to be spoken. So.
And it is like if God directs them, like you said, yeah. Vita, sometimes we jump the gun. We get ourselves in a situation that, you know, it's like, oh, what a mess we've made because we just, it's not our job to fix everybody. It's not our job to save the world, although we think it is sometimes most of the time, right? Because we want to. But as God directs, we do what he shows us to do. And that verse, like what Donnie was just referring to, is in Hebrews 4, you know, how the word of God is quick and powerful. It cuts right to the intents and emotions, the intentions and emotions of the heart, you know, right to a person's heart. But there are a lot of ways to say the word. You know, you show up, maybe just being a loving, kind person and, hey, how's it going? What can I do for you today? Or whatever, you know. But I always take it back to a verse in my head because that helps me keep life straight. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I quote the word to myself constantly. But otherwise, I think I'd be, you know, a little crazy. I'm already kind of crazy anyway in my flesh, right? That's supposed to be a joke. No, but the thoughts and intents of the heart or the intentions, it literally is the intentions and emotions of the heart. You know, there is a lot of crazy out there, and we're not called to fix it all. But if God says move, you move. And I want to say hi to Kevin. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing good. Just got back visiting the grandkids.
Aw.
And in light of what you guys are talking about, you know, with grandkids and saw God do some really neat things. I got a call from my daughter saying that when you come, can you help her husband Logan pick up a playset? And it's in South Carolina. They live in North Carolina. I said, sure. She said, well, you'll have to probably take it apart and, you know, load it on a trailer and bring, because this is a real big playset. I said, sure, no problem. So we go there and it was $350. So as I'm talking to Logan, he said, well, we prayed about this with Carter. And his son, he's 5 years old while we were there.
Uh-huh.
And Sarah was talking to Carter, and Sarah was talking to Logan and said, you know, we really like to get one for free because we left our other one in Loveland when we moved. We gave it away. We, you know, that'd be great. And Carter goes, well, yeah, let's pray for it. So they did. Found one for $350. Went and called the lady. She said, you're the first person. I just posted this. I'll hold it for you. So they were going to go get it before I got there, but it rained on a weekend. So they had to wait for another full weekend. The lady said, I'll still hold it for you. So, you know, and Carter, you know, they said, Carter, God, we've already prayed for this. God's going to bring it to pass. So we go there. He gives her the $350 in the backyard. We start taking it apart. We back the trailer up. We got it all apart. And the husband, whose name is also Kevin, comes up with that envelope and slaps Logan in the chest with it and said it was never about the money. We just wanted somebody good to have it and gave him the $350 back. And so Logan wasn't going to take it. And he looked at me because he knew, it was, you know, from listening to us, I was dad. And he goes, well, then I'll give it to you. And I said, I'll take it. And then I shared with Logan. I gave it to Logan. And I said, you know, you opened a fantastic door for that man to get blessed. So Logan later was talking to me about it. And he said the guy that used his truck to take us down there, he was a guy that he met at church, but he only goes every once in a while, doesn't really believe in God. And he's building a playset for himself. And so he's telling Logan, he goes, you know, I've already spent about $150 on the playset. I'm only about halfway done. And here you buy this whole thing at $350. Well, when he got the money back and Logan just was driving with him and I was following him in my car and, I was in the back seat. They were talking and, Logan was telling him all about it and telling him about God. He really solidified for that man's heart that God is interested in every little detail of our lives. Every single detail, down to the minutest details. And he wants to bless us if we're willing to look to him. And so the guy's going, well, you just got that for free, and I haven't even spent, you know, all the money it takes to build mine. And then that, what's cool is we got it home, and it's in all these pieces. So Logan and I built it the next day. It was built before Logan had to go back to work. So the kids are playing on it that night. And the guy goes, man, you got that already done? So that's part of the story. On the way home, I have a welder and I don't have a welding bottle. And I was looking for welding bottles. You know, I found one, $69. I go there. They go, oh no, that's just for the argon. It's $500 for the bottle. And I went, no way. Thank you. No way. That's not God's deal. So I found this place in Lexington on the way home that had two argon regulators for, and then all the things to hook it up and extra parts and for argon bottles. And so I called a guy. I said, hey, I'm going to be swinging through there at 7 o'clock at night. And so Logan's praying with me about it. I get there and I get a thought, ask him about the bottle. I mean, he's got the regulators. Does he have a bottle? He goes, yeah, I have a bottle. I go, oh, well, how much would you like for that bottle? So I give him $60 for the two regulators that are about $80 a piece. And he goes, I don't know, make me an offer. I said, oh, geez, you know, I'm thinking $545. I said, tell you what, $50. He goes, okay. So he goes, I go, well, I could follow you to your house because he didn't want to meet me at his house because he didn't know me. So anyway, but I'm getting to know the guy by this time, right around the corner. We go out of the parking lot, up a street, turn left, turn in his driveway. So we go in his garage, and I love old cars. I mean, I just love people who work on old cars. That's why I'm getting the system. Up on top of this lift is an MG, 1960s MG, powder blue, no engine in it, and he just starts talking to me about cars. And underneath it, there's a covered car. He goes, well, after I tell you about that one, I'll show you what I have underneath it. So he puts the bottle in my car. I come back in there. He has a Ferrari. This kid's 40 years old. He has a black Ferrari. I've never stood next to a black Ferrari. He's telling me about it. I go, where can you drive that thing? And he said, well, once they had this thing at the race, at the bracket races, you know, they got the half a mile track. You can go straight or quarter mile, whatever. He said, we pull all our cars there. And then at the end, they let you just take off and go as fast as you can. He said, in a quarter mile, I got it up to 140. And I said, I've never been near a vehicle like this. It was such a blessing. And, you know, God is into blessing our lives like that. Yeah, those are physical things. I get it. I've seen the other things come to pass in my life and stuff. But that really blessed my grandson because he knew I was coming back. I was going to get, so Sarah said, how'd it go getting the bottle? I, or the things. I told her the whole story. And they're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And so she told it to Carter. He's like, yay. But that's our God. He wants us to enjoy this life, all the little things. Not the big things only, but I mean, the big things too, but the little things. So thanks for letting me share that.
Thanks, Kevin. That's awesome. That's great. $50.
Yeah.
How about $50?
Sure.
That's awesome. That's
500.
Great. Yeah. That, a much better deal. That's the God deal, right? There you go.
Amen.
Amen. That's wonderful. All right. Great. Anyone else? Anyone else?
But I can share in the meantime.
All right.
Yeah. There's a little section of scripture I want to read to you, and you're all familiar with it, but I have a reason for wanting to read it, and you can just follow along if you want to, or not. You can go there. But it's in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's a beautiful section, and it illustrates so many things, and there's so much detail in here, and I'm not going to try to explain it all, but you can look up the words later if you want to. But there's just one little word in here that I want to kind of expound on. And it is the word for balance. It's the Greek word axios, you know, and you've probably heard of that, like balance, axios. And it really, if you think about it, I mean, balance is something that we need in virtually everything. You know, in our day, I mean, can you imagine if you went all day long without any food and then the next day and the next day, and you might be really hungry, you'd be out of balance. Or if you went days and days upon end without any sleep, you would be out of balance. You know, if you do a lot of destructive things to your body, then maybe down the road you would get an illness as a result. Out of balance. So balance is something that is important in the physical body, in the one body of Christ, and in all of creation, all of nature, there's balance. God is the God of balance and beauty and all things wonderful, right? So when it's like if your body is out of balance, you know, then there's possibility for sickness, and it's a good thing to try to keep all this in mind. And there's a lot of ways, a lot of things we could talk about with that, but we're not going to. But you know, good food, good water, good sleep, sunshine, a little exercise, you know. But most important from all of those things are healthy, godly, wonderful thoughts. That God is God, and we're not, and God does the heavy lifting, and we've got our Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life for us, right? So let's just read through here. Verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, and this is Paul speaking, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And the term to walk worthy is the Greek word axios for balance. It is to walk in balance. And I'll just read a little definition here from Murdoch, who was a great scholar, Greek scholar. And he said that you walk as becomes the calling, you know, as it becomes a son of God to walk in balance. You know, it just makes sense, right? You walk as it glorifies God. You just don't do an extreme. You're not an extremist in any one kind of category or way. And then, you know, he it's all real simple here. He says, verse 2, with all lowliness, you know, which is modesty. It has to do with modesty. With all lowliness, meekness, we all know what that is. You know, God's God, we're not. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I love that. You know, just don't sweat the small stuff, right? You know, it's God's job to fix Johnny down the road. It's not my job. But if God tells me, go over there and tell Johnny such and such, then it is my job, right? So we walk in balance. endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. You know, there are a lot of Christians out there all over the world, right? And have been and will be in future days if the Lord tarries. So maybe we don't all believe doctrinally the same thing. You know, that doesn't mean we don't endeavor to try to doctrinally understand what the Word of God says accurately, right? And we're very blessed to have that. But another thing about balance and what it's saying here largely is a balance between the doctrine of the Word, like how to believe rightly, and the practice of the Word. You know, walk the walk and talk the talk. Do what you say and say what you mean. Like, do what the Word of God says. Do it, do it, do it. If there's some fear in there, then you're out of balance. You know certain things are available from the Word of God, but don't be afraid. Walk in balance. Endeavor to trust God to amp it up for you. So anyway, verse 4 says, for there's one body, there's one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, you know, not three, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hey, you know, is there anything too hard for God? He's above all and through all and in us all, right? God in Christ, in us. But unto every one of us is given grace. Grace, grace. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? You know, grace is that unmerited favor that we have, but it is just like we all grow in grace together according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know, we have that gift within us, the God in Christ in us. It gives us the capability to grow in grace, to perfect the walk, so to speak. And then it says many more things. I'm not going to read it. Read the rest of the chapter. It's fabulous. It's fabulous, darling. But the balance, we need to seek it more and more in our lives. You know, like we each have our own little personal things. Usually it has to do with food or something, which drives me crazy because I just like to eat whatever I want to eat. But if I go a little over out of balance, I pay for it the next day, seriously, or I'm wearing it on my hips or something, you know. Or if I overdo it on exercise, you know, then like I think I'm 25. Then the next day I'm like, I got to recover. I got to lay in bed all day and watch TV or something. I don't know, but you know what I mean? Balance. Let's just endeavor to keep that unity of the spirit and the bonds of peace, to walk in balance and to, however it was, what I just read to you, where did paper go? Mm-hmm. That you walk as becomes the calling. Walk as it becomes a son of God, to give that glory and honor to God. You know, we show up, but how are we showing up? Are we pathetic? Well, you know, put a smile on it, whether you feel like it or not, right? And with that dogged determination, like we were talking about earlier, Kevin, I think you missed the testimony of Alicia. She's been healed of a million things, healed of blindness, healed of kidney disease, healed of heart disease. Fast forward till recently, her kidneys failed. Okay, so she's believing God. We're all praying with her for this whole last year. And suddenly she has a new kidney. And maybe we'll record it or get the thing on the website and you can hear the rest of it. There's so many things that girl overcame, and she just kept pressing on. And we all know Cindy B has done it. We've all done this where things get hard, but we just keep pressing forward with that determination that God is going to help us through this stuff. You know, and there are afflictions because we do live in this present evil world, and because we're not just spirits floating around. We're body, soul, and spirit, and we have emotions and feelings and bodies that break down and things that challenge us emotionally and in every way. And it is intense. And we need to pray for ourselves and each other continually. So, but balance, that was what was on my heart. We is what I'm doing, giving glory and honor to God, or am I not? So.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Yepper.
Having a balanced life. Good thing to shoot for. Yep. Well, we are a blessed bunch. I know that much. I was just wanting to emphasize one thing, and that comes back to, you know, the words that we speak. And if we're speaking the truth, you know, it's like the scripture encourages us, you know, let every man speak truth with his neighbor, right? I was thinking about some weddings that are coming up. We actually have two weddings coming up. One we're just going to go and enjoy, and one that I get to officiate. And I was thinking about that salt covenant again and how, you know, Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples and, you know, encouraged them. He said, have salt within yourselves. You know, I mean, let the words that come out of your mouth be salted, right? You know, and it's all about being committed to speaking the truth, you know, just being committed to that within the depth of your heart, you know, that you will speak the truth one to another, that you will speak the truth to people around you. Because the words that we speak, as they are the truth, as they are, you know, the word from God as he gives it to us or as he has had it written, you know, they are powerful words, you know, like Jesus Christ said, you know, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, they give you life if they come from God. And, you know, we need to remember that as we go about our daily lives and go about our relationships one with another, that, you know, we're not pointing bony fingers at one another, but we are endeavoring to speak the truth and encourage one another. You know, that when the world wants to heap its lies upon our brains, we reject it. We rebuke it with the truth. You know, when someone wants to, you know, compromise on the truth, let's say, you know, we encourage them not to. We encourage them, you know, to speak the truth. Because the truth is power. You know, it's like what Jesus Christ did in his ministry to Israel was just so incredible, really. No one had come before him that had so much power and so much authority and so much confidence in God. There was no one like him. No man ever walked like he walked with his father, with God. Of course, no man had God as a father until him. You know, but when he spoke, you know, he spoke with that authority, because he knew those words were from his father. And so we have that same joy and privilege, and we need to, we just need to remember that when we speak these things, they're power, you know, they're powerful. And they all are sent forth to accomplish the same thing. You know, when they're from God, God sends his word forth, you know, to heal, to deliver, to encourage, to uplift, to strengthen. He does not send his word forth to belittle or condemn. You know, he just, that's not God's motive. You know, I was reminded of this great section in Luke 4, and we'll just read a few of the things there in Luke 4. This is when Jesus Christ had recently been out in the wilderness tempted and got through that because he continued to hold his mind and recall that which was written of him and about his father. And he recalled with every temptation that the adversary threw at him, he recalled what was recorded in the scripture. He recalled it from, he brought it back to his mind, what things were true that he could really, really count on. He bet his life
on the truth of what he knew was written in the scripture. He brought his mind back to that. He brought his heart back to that. He said to the adversary, you know, well, I'm going to show you. No, he didn't say that. He said, look, I know what's written. It's written. This is what's written. And he went through that. And he, because he did not back down, because he did not compromise, God brought him through that great temptation. And when we think of that verse, and I guess it's in Hebrews, you know, when it says he was tempted in all things, like we are yet without sin. Well, I have not had the adversary bring me up on a pinnacle and show me all the kingdoms of the world and say to me, hey, you can have it if you want. I haven't had him do that to me. So I know that he must have been tempted a heck of a lot more than I am. So in all these things that I deal with, I look to my example, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and realize that all I got to do is hold fast to what I know is true and not back down from it. And God will bring me through and give me the victory. He came to a synagogue shortly after that in Galilee. And there was, at that time, there was delivered unto him, it says in verse 17, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he unrolled the scroll. He found the place where it was written. This is what he found was written that he wanted to share with them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach good news to people, to give them some good news in the midst of a bunch of confusion, of lies, of darkness in the world around him. He had the joy of bringing good news. You know, and what place on earth today does not need some good news? You know, in the midst of people being confused as to whether they have a penis or not, you have some good news for them. That which they've been endowed with by their creator is the way the creator wanted it. Good news. You don't have to be confused about that anymore. Sorry, this is maybe an R version of fellowship. I may have to edit that one out. But yeah, no. I think you get my point. Good news. There is good news amidst all the stupidity out there. The good news is that God is still God. And you are still his son. You are still his daughter. And his desire is good news. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives. There is healing available. There's deliverance available. No matter what you need deliverance from, it is available. Recovering of sight to the blind. How many countless testimonies have we heard in our day? Not just read in the scripture of what is written about it, but to see it in our day. I don't know how many people I've seen given their sight back miraculously. Alicia is one of them. You know, but I've heard it many times over. Set at liberty them that are bruised. To set at liberty. To release them. You know, when it says bruised there, it's in the Greek word, it's a little more intensive. The word bruised is really shattered. The translation should be shattered. Those that have been shattered. Not just bruised, not just a little bump on the head here and there, but totally shattered. God's desire is to bring you through that. If that's been what you've experienced, if that's how the adversary has attacked you, God's desire is to bring you through it. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. That's what he had brought to their mind and heart. That's what he had brought to them on a silver platter. What he had been called to do was something that had been acceptable to God, not just for the time, but for all time. God's desire to heal, to deliver, to set free has always, it's always been God's desire. He has always been there to heal his people. Not just when Christ walked, not just when the apostles came after him after the day of Pentecost, and when all them fell asleep, it's no longer available. No, God, his desire is always good for his people. It's the same today as it was then. That's the good news we have for people. And when we speak these words, we can speak them knowing that it's God's power and God's authority behind them. And so we can see them come to pass. We never have to doubt when we're speaking the truth. It's a reality. It will have the same reaction when it's received with faith today as the reaction when it was received with faith when Jesus Christ spoke it, or when Paul spoke it, or when Peter spoke it, or when James spoke it. It is the same response today when it's received with faith as it was when Moses spoke it to the children of Israel. And they said, okay, give me my lamb. Find that lamb. Let's slaughter it. Let's put its blood on the doorpost, on our doorpost outside. Let's survive this the way God said to survive it. And God delivered. It's the same today. Whenever the word of God is received with faith, its power is ignited to bring to pass that which God has sent it forward to bring. We never have to doubt that. We never have to doubt it. We have been blessed by so many things, with so many things, by our God, our Father, because of his grace. And this is what, you know, when Patty mentioned that phrase, you know, to grow in grace, to grow in grace. You know, how do we grow in this favor? Well, we just enjoy it more and more. Day by day, we understand that it's always there for us. His grace is favor to do for us those things that we need him to do, that we can't do. We trust him to do it. And we grow in our confidence that he does favor us. That no matter where we find ourselves, whether we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear nothing. We fear nothing because we know that our God favors us. We know that our Father has nothing but good things to bring to us. He has nothing but good in store for each one of us. So we have great confidence and we can be at great peace in the midst of this, you know, crazy insanity out there. And it will continue to get worse. Right? It will continue to get worse. It's okay. Because God's favor will continue to be ever present for each of us. So, sure thankful to God for what he's done for each of us. I'm thankful to God for what he's doing for each one of you. And for the great excitement that we share together when we hear of these good things that he's done for each of us. So I love each and every one of you. So Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for continuing to show us your great love for us day by day. Thank you, Father, for continuing to be there for us and be faithful to all that you have spoken, all that you have promised, that we can count on those things in everything that we do, in everything that we are, that we count on you first and foremost to establish our way, to strengthen our steps, to guide us and direct us day by day. Thank you, Father, for continuing to bless our lives with your grace. As we look to you, as we humble ourselves before you and know that without your Son, Jesus Christ, we would be nothing in your sight. That we would be like all the rest, struggling. But because of our confidence in your Son, Jesus Christ, we are as he is in this world. So thank you for these things, Father. Thank you for continuing to remind each other, continuing to remind us so that we can remind each other of how beloved we are and without blame we are before you. Thanks, Father, for that power that dwells within us that we can demonstrate each and every day, each and every time we draw into it, that we tap into that and energize that spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for these things and for the great life that you have called us to, in that wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Someone speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, please.
My beloved children, I, your Father, so love you. I have so many wonderful things I want to do with you, so many wonderful things I want to share with you and tell you and commune with you and talk to you about. So come to me, bring your whole heart to me so that I can show you those things. Walk with me daily. Walk with me moment by moment, second by second. Never turn your face away from me because I'm a father that holds your hand. I'm always there with you. I'm always there for you. And there is no time that I would never leave your side. So trust in me. Hold on to me, for I, your Heavenly Father, love you like a dear father loves a child.
Go forth and be strong, my children, and know that I am God. And that I am your Heavenly Father, and that I'm always there. In the darkest nights, in the earliest mornings, in the hottest afternoons, I am always there. When you're in trouble, I'm there. When you're happy, I'm there. When you're sad, I'm always there. So be strong and know who I am as the Son of, as a Heavenly Father, and know that I am.
Change the manacle of apatotas and de catabut of wrath of asicata. Ancha de beta onsa capatavatos. Lanchain tota a la rondo giribase. Lanchet de la mantuta capasena. Dear children, I love you greatly and deeply. It is a dying and sick and perverse world that you live in, but you are the lights of the world. You can bring deliverance just by speaking my word. You can show forth my power and change the nations. So walk boldly, walk fearlessly, for I have called you, and I will back you up. There is not a situation you will be in that I will not be with you to help you be victorious. And remember, you're doing this for me. You are bringing light to the people that are sick and dying. So just go forth and walk boldly, and I will be with you.
I have found truth living in your hearts, my people. So know this for a surety, that wherever you go, I will manifest my life and heart through you to other people. So stand strong. Fear not, and know that I will always bring prosperity to you.
Amen.
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 Oh, boy. All right. Well.
I have a little aside.
Aside?
Yeah. So, did you really mean Ananias and Sapphira?
Oh, no, probably. No, Priscilla and Aquila.
Yeah, you get those couples mixed up. You definitely don't want to do an Ananias and Sapphira.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, my